Hi, and welcome back to Let's Talk Future. I'm your host, Jane Ross, and I'm here with Tyler Battori, who covers residential real estate, lodging, and leisure for Oppenheimer. We asked Tyler back because it sure seems like housing is going to be a big theme in 2026. Affordability has become a major buzzword of late, and nowhere do issues of affordability seem to pop up more than around housing. So here, we'll talk about why housing is so expensive and seemingly so inaccessible for so many people. We'll talk about what the home builders are doing and what can or should the government do. And finally, we'll talk about what this all means for market investors and buyers and sellers of homes. So it's a lot to unpack, and let's get to it. And welcome back, Tyler.
Great, Jane. It's great to be with you.
Glad to have you back here. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to start off with a difficult topic and ask you to talk about 2025. It was not a good year in housing, right?
Yeah. And I hope all of our listeners had a better 2025 than the housing market did. I mean, disappointing, dismal, deflating, those are some of the adjectives that come to mind when you think about housing in 2025. And it's really unfortunate because there was a lot of optimism building at the end of 2024. Mortgage rates were coming down. The Fed had embarked on an easing cycle. There was an expectation that demands post the election will get a little bit better. So the home builders were positioning their business for that demands in 2025, and it didn't really come through. And that's probably theme number one, maybe mystery number one, in terms of the housing market in 2025, is just this lackluster demand.
And what do you think is going on there? What do you think is behind the weakness in demand?
High mortgage rates are certainly a culprit. We're in the low 6% range right now, but mortgage rates came down for most of 2025. The home builders have been offering some pretty attractive incentives in terms of financing. And both of those factors didn't really do much in terms of driving demand. So we really think it's a consumer confidence issue. And if you just look at everything that's happened in the news over the last 12 months, whether it's the government shutdown, the election, funding from the government, tariffs, there's just a lot that's going on. And on top of that, life is just expensive right now. I mean, I'm sure we all have anecdotes. I was in the airport last week. I think I spent $25 on a sandwich. I'm not sure when sandwiches started costing $25, but it just puts a strain on people's budgets and their monthly payments and what they can afford. And I think that's really one of the main factors that's contributing to what's going on the demand side of things.
And do you see that in the statistics that you watch in the housing market?
You do. And look, the government shutdown makes it difficult to get numbers because they haven't been publishing numbers. But when you look at the summer, late fall, new home sales were trending down about low single digits year over year. On the existing home side of things, did about 4 million homes. That's really the lowest since the mid-90s. You were up slightly year over year, but still at a pretty low rate, all things considered. I really look at the performance of the home builder stocks as a good indicator, and the sector on average was down 7% last year. No stocks in the sector outperformed the S&P 500. And if you look at earnings estimates, down about 20% throughout the year as well. So I think those numbers really reflect the gap between expectations and reality.
Yeah, well, it's not a happy picture. Now, is this what you expect 2026 to look like as well?
Yes and no. We don't think that there's going to be some sort of big uptick in demand. Mortgage rates are still elevated. That consumer confidence issue is still top of mind. Affordability is still challenged. What we do think really changes next year is the supply picture. And again, heading into 2025, a lot of the home builders were optimistic. They started building more homes. The opposite is actually happening right now. The home builders have pulled back a lot on their starts. Based on our checks, you could be looking at starts real time right now down about mid-teens on a year-over-year basis. So what that means is this overbuilding dynamic that was playing out in 2025, that starts to go away because the home builders are right-sizing their business model. But there also should be savings on the material and labor side of things just because there's less stress in the system because there's less construction that's happening out there. So from our perspective, we think there's a little bit of a margin opportunity for the space as we look towards 2026.
Right. Well, that's good. You know, you mentioned materials. Are tariffs a big factor here in driving up costs?
The simple answer is no. And the simple reason is just supply and demand. And if you just look at lumber as an example, that's the largest single material cost out there for a builder. It could be about 10% of the average selling price. It's about 20% of total construction costs. There are tariffs and duties that were put in place on lumber in 2025, but the price of lumber, basically flat. If you look 2024, ended the year down about 20% from some of the peaks. And I think that would probably surprise a lot of people because, again, you read the news, you hear about these tariffs, you would assume that the price would be going up. But again, the issue is that there's not a whole lot of need for more lumber because the demand isn't there. So that very much impacts the price. And if you look overall at the entire build costs for all home builders right now, they're actually down year over year, anywhere from 2-4%, something like that. And just really reflects this environment where there's less construction happening, there's less activity. And that is what was weighing on prices for both materials and for labor too.
Okay. So it's not the material side of the equation. You know, we talked about affordability at the get-go. So mortgage rates, is that the main issue, do you think?
I mean, look, our $25 sandwiches at the airport killing housing. I mean, this whole affordability dynamic has been at play for several years now. And look, mortgage rates are definitely a factor. If you look at how much a monthly payment is with a 6% mortgage rate versus how much a monthly payment is with a 4% mortgage rate, it's a pretty big difference. But I do think this whole inflation dynamic where everything is more expensive, incomes haven't really kept up with that. But home prices have continued to creep up. And I really think you have this dynamic in the housing market where there's the haves and the have-nots. And the haves are those folks that do own a home right now, that have a low mortgage rate, that have equity, that have a low monthly payment. The have-nots, unfortunately, are those people that would really like to own a home, that want to own a home, but they just don't have the savings because everything is so expensive. They don't have the equity to tap into. So the consumers that are really transacting in this market right now are the ones that are coming into it with some equity. They're able to put a larger down payment and their monthly cost is a lot less than someone that might be putting down a little bit of a smaller amount.
Yeah. And, you know, on this podcast, we always like to talk about technology and disruptive issues. And I've read a lot about changes in the building of houses with offsite fabrication and 3D printing and all of that. Is that a possible game changer in driving down costs?
I wish. I mean, we're still using hammers and nails to build houses. 100 years ago, we're using hammers and nails. 200 years ago, we're using hammers and nails. So things haven't really changed. There have been a couple of companies that have popped up and tried to do 3D printing, get creative in terms of building the home or more parts of the home offsite and then shipping them to the actual job. But it's just tough to get the industry to change. And there's lots of challenges when you're doing things offsite in terms of logistics. You need the labor. And in a lot of instances, it's just ingrained in the construction process to do everything at the home site. And it's really, really tough to get that to change. So unfortunately, some of these companies that popped up, they actually haven't made it and have gone bankrupt. So I don't really think that there's much that's going to be disrupting how homes are built, at least in terms of our lifetime.
Okay, darn it. Well, as a homeowner, I know insurance is a big topic. I'm here in Los Angeles, California. And so access to insurance, cost of insurance, you know, catastrophic weather events, that's another real driver here for you to look at.
Absolutely. And look, anyone that's living in Florida, Texas, California, you're experiencing this firsthand. And by the way, that's more than 25% of the population. And the climate issues are very much top of mind. I mean, there is an insurance component in CPI. And if you look at the average growth rate over the last 3 years, it's been about 4%. Doesn't seem huge, but still double where it was the prior decade. And I think a lot of those national numbers, they're a little bit skewed. If you do look at some of these markets that are really facing some of those challenges, I mean, there are places in Florida where you might not be able to get any insurance at all. There are places in California, places in Texas where your insurance bill has more than doubled in a couple of years. And again, to tie this back to the whole affordability dynamic, if you're looking at buying a home, you're already stressed because of where your finances are, where mortgage rates are. If you just add on additional insurance costs, it just makes owning a home that much more unattainable for a lot of people out there.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about another lever, this administration talks a lot about things that the government can do in terms of making, building more homes or stimulating demand or, you know, the different ways that the government can impact the picture. What do you think about that?
Well, very recently, the government announced a plan to limit institutional investors buying homes, buying rental homes. So there is a lot of movement, a lot of discussion on not only what that might mean, but perhaps next steps in terms of what the administration might do for housing. And there's certainly a perspective that 2026, the whole housing affordability dynamic is very much going to be top of mind for the administration. I think it's interesting, some of the rhetoric and the political rhetoric that's really changed over the last 6 months or so. If you rewind the clock back several months ago, a lot of the discussion was about the supply side of things. So encouraging builders to construct more homes, lower prices, things like that. More recently, there's been some commentary perhaps on the demand side of things, tax cuts, perhaps other programs to kind of incentivize people to make it easier for them to buy homes. And ultimately, as we think about it, you know, if you're going to solve this with just the supply side of things, it hurts everybody else that owns a home because in theory, you're going to be lowering home prices. So there's 85 million roughly people in this country that own a home. A lot of those people are voters too. So I think from a political perspective, the last thing that you really want to do is something that damages the equity that they've built up in their home. So from our perspective, it does sound like maybe you get something on the demand side of things more than just supply, but there haven't been a whole lot of details. So we'll have to see what happens in 2026, but it's absolutely something that's going to be very top of mind and something that I think people should be focused on.
Well, and on that issue that you just raised about institutions buying up a bunch of rental properties and maybe this administration's going to try to do something to stop that from happening, you know, last time you and I spoke, we talked about that and you said you didn't think that that was a big driver in moving prices. Is that still the case?
It is, and it's a great question. It's a very, very hot topic. I mean, I think you just look at some of the numbers, and the two largest single-family rental REITs that are out there, Invitation Homes and then American Homes for Rent, they have not bought any homes on the MLS in probably 3 years because homes are too expensive. So if you have this perspective that all these large institutions are crowding out end users, it's just not really happening right now. And I think in some ways, you know, these institutional landlords, these institutional companies, they're a little bit of a punching bag, if you will, which is unfortunate for them. So, you know, we'll have to see kind of how this plays out in the government process and whatnot. It is something that had been discussed for a while. And again, you mentioned on the last discussion, you know, we did talk about this exact topic. I don't really think it does a whole lot, but, you know, again, I think the perspective would be, you know, this is perhaps step one in a much larger plan to get housing affordability more under control.
Right, right. Well, I want to bring it back to just kind of your thoughts as we head into 2026. We've talked about some of the mysteries and headwinds that are affecting the housing market, and yet I think you have a rather constructive view of the way things are going to look next year.
And a lot of that ties back to the supply. And, you know, I think if you can get the supply a little bit more under control, so to speak, by starting fewer homes, right-sizing things, it just kind of puts the market a little bit more in balance. And for the home builders, it allows them to pull back a little bit on some of these promotions that they're doing. It allows them to get some savings on the material side of things. And then what would be really nice to see is if the government did give us a little bit of help on the demand side of things. It'd be fantastic if mortgage rates really started to tick lower. Then you would have this circumstance where the supply is in a better spot, demand gets turbocharged, so to speak. And then I think that would be a very bullish outlook for the entire industry. And if you look at housing in the thematic perspective and you really take a step back, there's still not enough homes in this country for demand. And you know, we're talking a lot about pulling back on starts, pulling back on supply to right size with demand, but that's to right size with actual demand today at these mortgage rates and at these prices. If the affordability dynamic changes, suddenly there are a lot more people out there that I think would like to buy a home, that want to buy a home. The problem is they just can't because of their financial position or how they feel about their financial position. So if those things start to change, I think there's very much, because of demographics and population growth, I think there's very much a long-term bull case here for housing.
Awesome. And I have to ask you another question, and I don't know if there's an answer for it. But when you talk about mortgage rates coming down and that incentivizing people who have been on the sidelines to get back into the market, is there a number at which you think the mortgage market tips and people jump in? It's kind of hard to answer.
It's a tough question. It's a good question. A lot of survey data that's out there indicates you get something in the 5.5% range, and that might get people more excited. I mean, I think so you can get a general drift lower. I mean, again, a lot of this is psychology, right? Like if you can break 6% and suddenly people see a five handle out there, I think that would be very much a good thing. And remember now, the home builders, they're offering rates that are far below market. I mean, if you go to a D.R. Horton right now or a Lennar, you'll probably get a 3.99% mortgage rate. The problem is, I don't know if everybody realizes that they can get that deal. A lot of times they're on Zillow, they're on Redfin, they're doing research and they're seeing the monthly payment for current mortgage rates. And a lot of people just, they stop their home search right now, not realizing that there's other opportunities that are out there. But if rates start to tick down 5.5, you know, suddenly that monthly payment doesn't look quite so difficult. And then they can re-engage with some of the home builders and they can see that there are some good deals out there. And I think that is a dynamic that could change in a positive direction if rates do tick lower.
Well, Tyler, thank you so much. You've given us so much to watch in the year ahead in housing. And I appreciate your time here.
Great. Thanks for having me again, Jane.